Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Celebrate.
Well, I feel like we always start our chats now with a song that reflects our mood. I guess you're in a good one.
Maybe we need to have singing lessons now. It's just gonna get serious. I'm in such a good mood. Oh my god.
Of course you are.
I'm in the house on my own. Actually, Judgy James just got home, so not on my own anymore, but almost. And oh, it's been amazing. I was just telling you before, I had a steak for lunch. I went for a run. I've been watching Loose Women.
Like, I've been watching Loose Women. Who even are you? Although that show is great. And every time I'm alone in the house, I do have it on in the background because why not?
Yeah, exactly.
That
it's
sounds great.
So nice. And also then I suddenly felt a bit bad. Like I was walking to school with some mums and I was like, oh, how are the little ones about going back? And they're like, oh yeah, they're fine. But I'm quite sad. And I was like, what? You're sad? What? Why would you be sad? And I just didn't. And then I was like, oh no, maybe I should be feeling a little bit sad. But I'm just not. I'm really not. I'm really happy about it.
I'm really glad that you're being honest because there are going to be people listening to this that felt a mixture of emotions this morning. In fact, yeah. I did see a couple of Insta stories from some of my mum mates and they were like, yeah, it was a bit tough because their little ones were upset and they felt a bit of a pang when they drove off. But like, it's absolutely great and fine that you are treating it like Christmas Day alone. And I'm happy for you. I'm surprised you're not drunk. Why are you not drunk?
I know, I should be really. I reckon if like the pubs had been open, then maybe I would have gone and arranged to meet people. But you know, being drunk on your own in the house like midweek is a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, because we know that like the kids in Wales and Scotland and you know, they went back at a different time. And then some of the kids in Scotland, the secondary school pupils are not back yet. So if you are still trying to get your kids to log on, hold on in there. Just hang on in there.
Light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, you are going to get there. And like, amazing. What an amazing time to be alive. Just like, you've done it. Like, 8 weeks of it. You've absolutely done it. I had literally no experience with it. I did about 3 weeks and that was it. And so that was long enough. That's long enough for me.
And let's just hope we don't have to do it.
Oh my God, no.
And that's it now. So yes, onwards and upwards, everyone.
Yay!
And we've got a really exciting episode today, haven't we? Which we recorded last week.
Yeah, we recorded it last week. Oh, this is our second week that the whole of this podcast is being sponsored by Next. Next, obviously a brand that Georgia and I rave about constantly on Instagram. You know, we love all of the clothes from Next. Like, we wear it avidly. Obviously, all of their activewear is really great as well. The kids' stuff is brilliant. So we're kind of over the moon that they're on board again for this week. Last week, obviously, we spoke to Denise Lewis about her activewear range. This week is our denim edit. How much can we say about jeans? I could talk about it all day long.
And we could, and we will be posting a denim edit on our Instagram tonight because we've been trialing the jeans for a couple of weeks and we've kind of worked out which styles work for us, which sizes. I mean, for me, finding a perfect pair of jeans is actually really difficult. So I've said before, I feel like I'm in between sizes, whether that's an 11 or a 9. Yeah. I've always kind of been in between. I'm also quite short. I mean, it's not going well for me. trying to find a pair of jeans. But that's the thing with Next. So they obviously come in different lengths, which is brilliant. But also those in-between sizes, which literally blew my mind when I found that out, because I feel like it's the answer to everything for me.
Yeah, I think a lot of the high street stores just expect it's just not one size fits all. And I think, finding that perfect pair of jeans and pulling them on and feeling really confident and, you know, getting everything that you want from that pair of jeans is quite difficult. And when it does happen, it's a really lovely feeling. Like, denim makes me feel amazing. I wear jeans all the time, you know. Obviously, the last 6 months been pretty much in loungewear or lycra. But, you know, I'm really looking forward to like getting back into, you know, the spring, summer months and mixing up my denim. And I love the way that different jeans can give you a completely different look, like mum jeans, straight jeans, flares. I'm going to be massive for this season. Like, they've just got everything. They've got everything.
Yeah. And you know what, as well, I think there's this real thing around jeans being uncomfortable and like, oh gosh, it's going to be really hard to get back into a pair of jeans.
Yeah.
But actually, I've been wearing like a relaxed tapered pair from Next. They are really comfy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they really are. They're not tight. They, you know, they fit perfectly, but they're loose and they're actually quite soft denim.
Yeah.
So there's definitely, you know, like, if you find jeans uncomfortable, which, you know, some people do, they're not all stiff. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of different styles with like some stretch in them and they're slightly more relaxed. So yeah, definitely check out the range, because it is incredible.
And also, just on a final note, obviously Georgia and I have got different body types, so we've chosen jeans that work really for our specific body type. So if you're more of a Georgia or more of a me, hopefully you can see how it's going to look and feel by how we've worn them. So yeah, anyway, we're going to get into the chat now, because we could just sit here and talk about denim all day long. We're not going to get into it. Last week we sat down virtually with somebody who has kind of been around for a while on EastEnders. Before that, she was in a girl group called Neon Jungle. But recently, we've been watching her avidly because she was in the castle freezing her tits off. Today, we're speaking to the wonderful
Jessica Plummer.
I feel like I'm going to love this chat more than any other chat that we've ever done, because just talking off when we didn't press record, all three of us were struggling to figure out what year our children were in. And even though we love them more than anything else, all of those finer details, I feel like they might not be us. Today on the podcast, we are absolutely over the moon, thrilled to be chatting to somebody who both Georgia and I watched avidly in I'm a Celebrity last year. Of course, before that, she was in EastEnders, just doing her showing us her amazing acting skills. And now, we're really excited to find out what she's up to now. She is mum to Noah, who's going to be turning 5 in July. Today on the podcast is the brilliant and amazing Jessica Plummer. Hello.
Thank you so much for having me.
How are you? I feel like we have to ask everybody that this year. How are you? And how are you really?
Yeah, I mean, how am I? I am, a little bit flustered. Like, I feel like I'm juggling 21 million different things, but, you know, I feel like the end is in sight. We know, like, we're aiming towards June 21st. So I do feel like I've had a bit of a spring in my step since that announcement by Boris. How are you guys?
Oh, yeah, thanks for asking. We're a bit up and down always. Yeah. Georgia's more like this. She's more straight.
I don't get too excited. I don't get too upset. I just try and stay like on an even keel. I mean, that doesn't always happen, though. I mean, it doesn't always happen. It's great in theory. It doesn't always happen.
How would you describe me then, George?
Zoe is like a roller coaster. Some days she picks up the phone and she's like, hi, I've just done a run, da, 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 da. this is happening, and then other day she picks up and she goes, hi, I don't want to get out of bed. Oh, okay, fine.
That is exactly right. So we're the yin to the yang, Jess. We're the yin to the yang. How has parenting been for you during lockdown, and what does your day-to-day look like with Noah?
It has been challenging. It has. We've had to adapt. I feel like at the start of January, there was a lot of pressure on maybe both of us to do things a certain way. obviously none of the pandemic is positive, but we did have quite an okay time the first time round. Obviously the second time I was in the castle. So this time round, I felt like I had the same pressure on myself to do as much and to enjoy it as much as what I did the first time. And we really haven't been enjoying it, especially at the beginning. And I don't know if it's just the pressure of now Noah's in school, whereas before she was in nursery, so there wasn't any home learning. So that kind of pressure and feeling like just a failure as a mum, because it's really difficult for me to juggle everything that I need to accomplish in 24 hours on top of it's almost like, okay, yeah, she's young, the things that she's doing isn't super challenging, but I can't just leave her to get on with it. So her school day, I've got to kind of be there with her to supervise it the whole time. So yeah, not enough hours in the day. But I do feel like since I just decided, you know what, she is 4 years old, there's children in countries that don't even go, that aren't even at school at all at her age, I'm just going to take the pressure off. We're going to do what we can. And yeah, I feel like I want to protect, like, I don't want her to get everything done, but then she just sees me as like this demon mother that like gets really frustrated with her. So we do what we can. Took the pressure off, and yeah, I feel like now we're starting to enjoy it a lot more. We've kind of found our rhythm.
Yeah, do you know what? I can so relate to that. I think at the beginning, I really was like quite strict on the homeschooling. I'd be like, right, yeah, you know, we go on at 9 o'clock and we do all the lessons and try and do yeah. everything. Yeah. And then actually in the last couple of weeks, I've just thought, I'm not going to do it anymore. Like, I'm actually yeah. just not going to do it. And like yeah. sometimes, occasionally, Axel will be like, oh, what's my teacher doing today? And on those days, I'm like, oh, okay, all right, then let's we'll log on and we'll do
yeah.
it. But
yeah.
like, I just don't force it. Like this morning, actually, I logged on and it was like they're learning alliteration. And I was like, oh, great. Okay. And Axel was like, no, I don't want to do it. So instead, we just played the shopping game, you know, like those
yeah.
little.
Yes.
Yeah,
we just played yes. that instead. And I was like, oh, so what would you say? Silly sausages. And he'd be like, yeah, silly sausages. And we've just been doing that instead. Like,
yeah. yeah.
Did you have your. Have the conversation with the school, George, before you said, do you know what, we're not going to participate for the last couple of weeks, or have you just kind of not been online?
Just out of real.
I've just ghosted them. I've just ghosted them.
Where is Axel?
I actually have, to be fair, but they're not that like they haven't been hugely like pressurizing any of us. Like they've That's always good. Been very much do what you can do. But has that been the case in your school? Because I know that it's not like that across the board.
Yeah, no, to be fair, Noah's class teacher is fantastic. There was a period. So what we've been doing, so our schedule is we try and log on for like the online stuff, but then all the other stuff that's handed out to us where it's like we've got to print this page and get a box and da-da-da-da and all of that stuff where I just feel like, why don't I have these things? We kind of improvise. And as you said, like, you could do a puzzle and it's the equivalent of, do you know what I mean? So, or like Lego or Play-Doh or something like that. But we did go through like a couple of weeks where her dad and I were just really, really busy with our work. So she wasn't logging on, and the school did like send an email and say like, what's going on? Like kind of thing. But they at the same time haven't made us feel guilty, but they've just said, you know, like we are under obligation to physically see her. At least I can't remember the exact amount of times a week.
But. Times a week, yeah, sure. Yeah, just so yeah. funny that you mentioned the printer, because I don't know if you guys have done this, but I've obviously got like loads of insecurities about like what sort of mother I am, and like a good mother has got like a stationery drawer with like sellotape. She's got scissors. Like, where's a pair of scissors? I know, because I've got a scissor drawer. You know, just one yeah. of those. And then, oh, I'm the sort of mother that has a printer, because I just don't. I don't have any of that stuff. You know, we've got a printer, but guess what? No cartridges. And then I'm like, well, what cartridges? And then I look, because my stepdaughter, we had to do a lot of homeschooling with her, and she was just like, oh, why don't you have any cartridge? Why isn't that? And I was just like, because I've never been asked to have a printer on hand before. And suddenly all of the stuff that you haven't ever had to, they're just, it's just all highlighted, isn't it?
Yeah.
That gives me heart palpitations just thinking about it. Have you got any plain paper? It's like, no, I fucking haven't.
No.
Why do I have any?
I know, like a ruler. That's the other thing. A ruler. Why? What adult has a ruler?
Like,
What? We can draw a number line with a ruler? Mate, yeah. I don't have a ruler. We use the side of a magazine.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. We use the side of a book to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
No. I feel like there's so many people in our boat, but maybe there's just, yeah, we're the ones that just admit it.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
The other thing that's really stuffed me up, because, again, I don't know if this is the same for you too, is I'm fine to stick to the questions that are being asked, but the minute it veers off subject,
yeah,
I don't know the answers to those questions. So I start getting like really like slight sweaty lips. Like, you know, why are the clouds grey? And I'm thinking, I know that I listened to this in school, but it's been 25 million years since I was in a classroom and I've got no idea. I think it's the same for everyone, unless you're a genius.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Jessica, let's go back to, I kind of wanted to take you back to your time in the castle and what that was like for you and how it was being away from Noah and just kind of that whole process, I guess, and what you came out with.
I mean, it's insane. I honestly feel like even the same day that I left and I finally got back to that hotel room and had running water and heating and a bed with an actual pillow, it almost felt like, did that just happen? Like, did I just do that? Did I really accomplish that? Because that is something that is so far out of my comfort zone. And I feel incredibly proud to say that I just didn't quit, you know? Like, that was my one thing. As long as I didn't quit any of the trials and I gave it my all, then I'd be proud of myself. And I feel like, yeah, it was very challenging. Obviously, it was cold, you're hungry, but missing Noah and because it's different. It's not like you know, sometimes when you have to travel from home, but you can still FaceTime every evening. You can still, you know, send pictures and videos to completely have no contact whatsoever was really, really hard, especially when the days are really long. It just feels like you wake up and you're waiting for it to be 10 to 10 when Ant and Dec come in and they, you know, you find out if you're doing the trial or not. That's the only thing that you have to gauge the time, because we have no idea what kind of time. Like, we started to like look at the sun and think, okay, we're in December, so it must set around 4:30. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it was challenging. But then just kind of like lockdown in a way, you find your rhythm. And I feel like coming out, it's really taught me to maybe perhaps go out of my comfort zone more and say yes to more things that I wouldn't usually of, because I do feel like, one of the biggest things I learned is that sometimes when bad things are happening, you just need to kind of focus and remember that this is a moment. So like when I'd be in a trial, as much as I felt like I was being tortured and there was nothing worse than this experience ever, 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 I just need to think, do you know what, this is going to last 12 minutes and then it's going to be done. Obviously, in real life, we never know how long a bad spell will last, but it is just a period. If anyone said to me, Jess, like, oh, I've just been approached by ITV and I'm thinking about doing The Jungle or The Castle, 100 million% do it.
Oh, and so when you were approached, like, I mean, there's a lot of people like, oh, I could only spend 3 days away from my children. Or actually, me and my husband were talking about this at the weekend and we were like, we think we could do 10 days comfortably. How did you kind of decide, actually, no, do you know what? I can do this, when you don't know how long it's going to be?
I, to be honest with you, I just didn't. I didn't think that far ahead. I kind of just... At first, it was a negotiation. At first, I didn't think that I wanted to do it because of things like that. And this wasn't the first time that I was approached to do the show either. I was asked when Noah had literally, the summer that Noah had just been born. So it was like, oh, do I really want to go all the way to Australia with like what would have been a 4-month-old? So I said no. I made the decision that I was going to do it. And I just kind of chose to be ignorant about how I would cope. And just went with it. We had to isolate in Wales for 2 weeks, which was lovely because I felt like I got without my phone as well. And that was the first time we had like really uninterrupted quality time, which was amazing, but probably made it a little bit harder to say goodbye. But you just got to take each day as it comes and just, yeah, and just remember the bigger picture. You know, I'm doing this for Noah. I'm doing this for my family, kind of thing.
And also, you know, doing something that you really wanted to do. And I think there's a danger when we become parents, especially as mothers, because I feel like maybe potentially there's more of a, you know, the guilt attached to it. And we stop doing things in life that we want to do, you know. Instead, it's all about our children. And I think it's really important to remember you've got to carry on pursuing your dreams. You've got to keep ticking off your checkbox. You are more than allowed to have a career. And, you know, your child will grow up. Noah will grow up looking at you thinking, wow, my mum is absolutely kick-ass. She went into a jungle in Wales in fucking December and achieved and did so well. Like, I think it's amazing. I really admire you for doing it.
Yeah, thank I do. You. And you know what? Quite often, like, you know, dads will go away for work for months on end and no one will question it. Whereas if a mother does it, there is always questions like, oh, you know, where's your children? What, you know, where are they? Who are they with? I mean, I think we've all got to remember that we're still a person and we want to hold on to our identity, don't we?
Yeah, I think it's important to say partners there, because whatever your family setup looks like, you know, it's you know, if you've just had a baby, there might be one person, you know, male, female, mum, dad, whoever it is that has to go away and do the work. But I think, like you said, you know, as the mother that's given birth to the child, there's more of like a, you've got to stay put, you've got to stay here. I remember going to Mykonos, not going to the jungle or doing anything for my career, just going for a smash up when Kit was 10 weeks old. And I remember feeling horrendously guilty. Second baby, you know, I felt a bit more like I knew what I was doing. And also it was my best mate's 40th and I didn't want to miss it. And I left him with my mum. But I got a few like, oh, what? He's only 10 weeks old and you've got, and it's like, well, that's my choice. I needed to do it. I wanted to do it. I was ready for it. You know, he was fine. I knew he was safe and happy. So I think, again, it's whatever you want, whatever works for you. You've got to go for it.
Oh, that must have been really hard, because it's kind of like, well, the decision's been made. I'm going. So why don't question it? Like, what? Don't make me feel like I need to validate my reasons for doing something that is very normal that every human being in the whole world does. Yeah, that's
We get that, though, that this goes back to the age old conversation about judgmental parenting. How have you kind of been perceived online as a mum, and what sort of comments do you get, and are they all supportive?
I mean, yeah, actually, I do feel like I try not to read comments. I try to just like upload and go, if you know what I mean, because I have been caught in that rabbit hole of like obsessing with things that people say and people's opinions. At the end of the day, I feel like when you're in the public eye, you've kind of you've said like, this is me. People are gonna have opinions, whether or not you feel like it's right that they share them with you. I can't control that. So I do try and take things with a pinch of salt. There have been a few things, but on the whole, people are really, really supportive. I feel like being in the girl band that I was in and being in EastEnders and also on I'm a Celebrity, they all have really loyal fan bases, and it's almost like people. I feel really lucky and privileged in a way that I feel like the people that support me want to like me. You know, sometimes you meet people, like I felt like this about Giovanna, actually. Before, she just, I this is not anything to do, but she just had a presence about her that I wanted to like her before I got the chance. And I feel like I have been set in situations that have been quite lucky that people want to like me, which was why actually it was really scary going on I'm a Celebrity, because I was like, oh, well, this is going to be my real personality coming out now. What are people going to think?
They're going to see everything, warts and all.
literally no escape. Like, if I had that, then the whole world would have seen it. But like little things. I chose to breastfeed till Noah was she was really old. She was like two. It was the Christmas, so she was 2.5, and that was people, I planned to breastfeed. Well, I just planned to breastfeed and see what would happen, and then she didn't really take to weaning, so then I was like, this is going well, like, let me just do it until she's one. And then I didn't want her to have a dummy. Well, I didn't want her to have a dummy. Then I really did want her to have a dummy, because I realized I was the dummy. But it was too late. The dummy wasn't happening. I got caught in this place of feeling like I kind of wanted to stop, but then the aggravation of like weaning her off me was just heartbreaking. It was really hard. I do feel really proud that I did manage to breastfeed her for as long as I did, but definitely not all of the world thought it was as cool as what I did.
I think it's incredible. Did you have a lot of people reaching out to you? Because I'm guessing that not many people out there will have a mate that has done that. So they are going to want to look outside of their social circle and try and find someone else to talk to about it.
Yeah, a lot of people, felt like, oh, yeah, like my child's two and my child's three and I'm still breastfeeding her. And that was really lovely to feel. And that's why I chose to do it publicly, because I just felt like, you know, that like this is the, like, anything that I do is just normal because I'm a human being and I'm a normal human being. There's nothing abnormal about it. Just because maybe the majority don't choose to do that, it doesn't mean, you know, what I'm doing is wrong. And so I feel like for the minority, it's nice to kind of just have that reminder, even little things like, you know, having the profile that I have now and potentially having a huge breakout on my face, you know, just like making normal, like things that are maybe not like cool, normal, I feel like is important. But some people felt the need to like let me know that like I'm a weirdo and like,
oh God.
Like, yeah, just like really like kind of sick things that you're just like, oh, you're like, what? No, stop it. Like,
that's
don't
just
follow
bizarre,
me there.
Isn't it? It's like, who gave you the stick to make up the rules with? Like, who gave you? I'm not in charge of making rules on when I can and can't breastfeed my daughter.
Exactly.
I'm really interested to find out the reasoning why. I mean, you sort of touched on the reason to why you did it that long, but was it kind of for you and for her? Like, is there's something so magical and wonderful about having that bond, isn't there, when you're breastfeeding?
Isn't there? Yeah.
We've done it a bit longer, to be fair. Georgia and I always talk about this, that we kind of were like so desperate in a way to kind of just have a little bit of time to
feel
ourselves.
Free. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But maybe we missed it. I don't know.
No, do you know what? It was, I understand that breastfeeding isn't something that is necessarily for anybody. I chose to take a break in my career. So, I could have that time to cut. There wasn't a pressure on me to feel like, oh, I need to pump or I need to introduce formula because I'm going to be away. Like we spent every single day with each other. I felt incredibly proud to get to one. And then it kind of just trickled on accidentally. Then when she got to two, it was like, oh, this is amazing. But I must say at two, I was a bit like, I am pulling my hair out now. I don't know how to stop and I am ready to stop. When she was two is when I went back to my acting agent and I started auditioning again. And actually me booking EastEnders was the reason that it was kind of like, I've got no choice now. We're going to go cold turkey and just figure it out. And that's exactly what we did. One night I just had to put up with the screaming and the crying. And I think it took about a week.
Yeah.
But I just didn't want to put myself through that. You know, like I mean, I was tired. I was shattered. It's just so much easier to be like, oh, shut up.
Yeah, just do it. Yeah, absolutely. We'll be right back after the short break.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiya. We're here to tell you about the Loose Lips podcast. We, being me, Georgie Porter.
And me, Sharon Carpenter. We're all about honesty and not holding back, especially when it comes to what's in the news.
Plus, we answer your questions and we give you advice whenever it's asked for.
Even when it's not asked for. We're all about what you're really thinking and what you really want to know.
You can expect to hear some of this.
I have to say, come on, people, we're getting a little too sensitive here.
And also some of this.
She is plugging her entire career in that one moment.
That's the Loose Lips podcast, out every Tuesday, and not forgetting Extra Lippy on Fridays.
Find it wherever you found this podcast. We'll see you there.
So welcome back. Back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we?
You obviously became a parent in your early 20s,
yes.
Which I guess, you know, to some people that's quite young, others it's, you know, around normal. But for me, I mean, I was mid-20s, but I know in my early 20s, I would have found it quite difficult to give my all to someone else, which is obviously what you did for 2.5 years. Did you find that quite a difficult transition?
In some ways, yes. I think I naturally, like, if you had asked me before I had any kids, how many kids I wanted to have, I'd tell you, like, 5, 20, give me all the kids, I love kids. I was a teacher's assistant. Anyway, I was a teacher's assistant. I've been a nanny. I really enjoy being around kids, and I do feel like I'm good at that. And so finding out I was pregnant, although it wasn't planned, I have had loads of issues with my periods and with my ovaries. I was diagnosed with PCOS, polycystic ovaries. So when I found, and actually prior to me becoming pregnant, I hadn't had a period for 3 years. I had had like 3 periods in 3 years. So I wasn't using protection, but it's just because I thought I'm going to be one of those people that it might not happen. So when it did happen, it was like, oh my goodness, like there's no shadow of a doubt that, you know, I'm going to not go through with this. And I feel like I just saw it as, because I had kind of started to accept that it wouldn't happen, I saw it as such a blessing that I just, you know, made the most of every single second. Obviously, I'm human. I had my days where, you know, she had colic at the beginning and I was like, oh, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm really struggling. But I feel like I, from when I was really young, built up to that moment where I would become a mum. So I just, yeah, I think also one of the main things that I found challenging was that being 23 and having a child, I didn't have really many other friends that were going through the same thing.
Yeah.
And that was definitely the hardest thing. But then I discovered this app called Mush. I don't know if you guys have heard of
Mush.
It.
Yeah.
So I can't remember who recommended it to me. I think it was in like the Guardian one day, and they were like, "Oh, Jess, you should download it and find some friends." I was like, "What is it? It's like Tinder for like mums."
It's Tinder for mums.
It is literally Tinder for mums. But I, long story short, became a part of a group of local mums. There was like 20 of us in this WhatsApp group, and yeah, like all really similar in terms of not in age, but just like the way that
mindset,
and things like that. Mindset, that's the right word. And and yeah, like I rent my house from one of them. I've rented my old house from another one of them. I lived with one of them for a week. Like like friends for life, I think.
That's so lovely. And I love hearing stories like that, because we hear a lot on Made by Mamas. People message us going like, I need to make some friends, you know, how do I go about it? And, you know, especially during the last year, if you've had a newborn in the last 12 months during this bloody global pandemic, it's been really tough. So I think apps like Mush and Peanut are
amazing.
They're brilliant. Exactly. just let's go back to your polycystic ovaries. We it's another question that comes up quite a lot, but I don't have any experience with it. Talk us through the symptoms and what was sort of going on with you during that period.
So I didn't have a period at all. It just vanished one day. And I've had many issues in the downstairs department. I have had abnormal cells on my cervix. I've had like operations or like, yeah, just like loads of stuff. I won't get too graphic, but so yeah, I just did the normal thing, went back to the doctors, like, oh, this is happening now. And they said it could potentially be a symptom of polycystic ovaries. So I was like, oh, okay. Googling the symptoms, I felt like, oh, the common ones, I didn't fit the bill, but I was just like, oh, okay, cool, whatever. Went, had the scan, and the nurse or whoever it was I was talking to, I think it was a nurse, just turned around and was like, yeah, you've got cysts on your ovaries. And I was like, because Googling it before, I saw that it could potentially hinder your chances of getting pregnant and things like this. So I was like, oh my goodness, what does this mean? Like, do I need to freeze my eggs? Like, what does this mean? And she was like, no. I was like, okay, well, you're going to chop them off? Like, are you going to do an operation? She was just like, no. I was like, what are you going to do? She just handed me a leaflet and I went home. And that was kind of it. It was just like, yeah, you've got BCOS. We don't do it. I mean, I don't know if now that's different and they do something about it, or they give medication or what. But for me, there was just like, you've got polycystic ovaries. Yeah, you might struggle. You might not. Here's a leaflet. Be on your merry way.
Go away and get on with it. Were there any other symptoms that went with it? Because we hear sort of like, you know, maybe weight gain, or you get a kind of a fuzz on your cheeks, and you know, there's just various other things.
Yeah, there's loads like bad, heavy periods, all of those.
My period when I did get my period would be like shockingly heavy, like ridiculous. Like, I couldn't even, like, I'd be changing my pad every like half an hour. But yeah, no, I literally just didn't have a period, and so kind of wanted to figure out what it was. I've always had like a bit of fuzz, to be fair, so I don't think. And I get like this one hair that grows, and I have to.
Oh God, the old one hair! I get that as well. I'm
a really long one, yeah.
A really long one, and really thick. It's like, oh,
I've got one in my belly. I've got one just on my belly, and I keep pulling it out. And I'm like, how have you grown back so thick and dark in 4 days?
I know. Imagine if the hair on your head grew that quickly. Oh, it'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be amazing. Yeah.
You know, like, I guess. Was it always that, like, kind of there in your head that you were slightly worried about your fertility?
Yeah, hugely so. Like, I would obsess about it every day. Like, it was always something. I even started to think, like, oh, would I adopt? Would I foster? Like, how am I going to get, like, kids in my life in some way if I'm not able to produce my own? Yeah. I think as a woman that wants to have children, that would, you know, be quite. I know not all women want to have children, but for the ones that do, it would be quite an alarming thing to hear that potentially you are going to struggle. And as I said, I've had issues with my cervix where I've had to have, I don't know exactly the name of the procedure, but it's like they kind of like burn a layer
laser.
Off to get rid
yeah,
of
the laser. Yeah.
And so like that makes your cervix shorter and that increases your chance of miscarriage. So yeah, I did just think, oh, God's sake, like everything is just, yeah, falling apart down there. But I think, yeah, I definitely feel like at the time I should have been given more information and potentially more support around it. I mean, I was so young as well.
We discuss this, Jess, so much. This is always the drum that I keep beating about the lack of education or the lack of understanding because of the lack of kind of learning wherever it is, whether it's at home or at school, and people are not having these conversations. You know, my big thing is that you need to have a conversation with somebody in your family, your mother, your aunt, your sister, about their fertility, because there is a direct link, you know, with it. It's early menopause. It runs in my family. Now, my mum was always very open about it, but it was too late for my sister, and I feel like we weren't given enough information. You know, we were given a little bit, but not enough at schools. You know, I'm only hearing now that they're talking about polycystic ovaries in schools now. That's just been passed. But in terms of like the fact that you're born with a finite number of eggs, and you know, should you go and have your AMH checked in your 20s, and all this kind of stuff, there's just nothing out there.
No, there really isn't. We're just taught how not to get pregnant, right? Not that one day you actually might want to get pregnant, and when you do try and get pregnant, it might not be that easy.
Yeah, it's so true. Like, we all just assume, okay, well, I'm going to get my period and my period's going to stay for this amount of years and I'll just come off the pill and get pregnant kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. You literally think if you don't take one pill, you'll get pregnant. That was my fear when I was like 15, 16, like literally, I'm going to not take one pill and that's it. I'm going to be pregnant.
I remember hearing like all these like rumored horror stories about like, yeah, you can get pregnant if you sit on a toilet seat.
Oh my God, yes. I mean, this is why it's so important to have conversation with our girls. We've got to keep that conversation. I mean, how do you guys, I mean, Gigi's obviously only sort of 18, 19 months, so I can't imagine Georgia not having those chats yet, but
not quite yet, no.
but periods are coming up in my house because Luna's with me when I go to the loo and stuff, and I just, you know, just crack on and do what I'd normally do if she wasn't there. So she's like, what's that? And, you know, why is what's that like? You know, she's asking the questions. My husband sometimes think I'm saying too much, but I actually don't think I am. I feel like it's really important. There's nothing to shy away from. This is going to happen to her in 10 years anyway. So
I have the same with Axel. Like, obviously, Axel's a boy, but he's in the in the toilet when I've got my period and he asks me about it and I kind of try and explain it in like very simple terms, like when mummy hasn't got a baby in her tummy, this is what happens and amazing. Blah 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 blah. You never know if you're getting it right though, do you know what I mean? You never know if you're just confusing them or
I feel like in general as a parent you never know if you're getting it right. I feel like every parent like doesn't want to doesn't want to be that parent that their kid talks about in 20 years time in therapy because they gave them childhood trauma. But it's so hard, isn't it, to like know what the right thing is to do. I definitely do the same as you guys. Like Noah, we are literally in the same room at the same time all the time. We're just like each other's, and to be fair, it's not just her following me. I do quite often follow her as well. And she does just the same thing, like trying to explain it in a way that is, you know, so that they can understand it. And she's just like, oh, yucky, and I'm like, no, it's not yucky. It's not she's yucky. Like, but you're bleeding. But yeah, and then yeah, like sometimes she asks questions like, oh, it's pink, and then she's like, it's black. it's like, how far can I go in like, oh, you know, at different stages of the cycle? It's just like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm just gonna, but I do just pretty much say like kind of what it is, and then her little brain can kind of figure it out. But then at least I've had the conversation. I feel like growing up myself, I was kind of had to figure that all out by myself. Like I all I knew is when I was 14, I just really wanted to start my period. I didn't know like what else came with it, and you know, just kind of just what I was taught from TV, I guess.
Is that because you didn't have that conversation? That conversation wasn't around the house. That was just you didn't have anyone that you could speak to about it.
It just didn't happen. It wasn't that I didn't feel comfortable. I don't even think that potentially my mum would have felt uncomfortable to have it with me. It just kind of wasn't done. I do feel like we are now more part of a world that is more open and, you know, like just like little things like now. I mean, I personally don't. I call it like Willy and Minnie still, but I feel like loads of people are like, no, like call it vagina and penis, and I think it's really good. I think it's awesome. Just take the stigma away from it, because then like so many things come with avoiding certain subjects, like shame and guilt and like what things that are way worse than just having an awkward conversation for 10 minutes.
But I guess nowadays there's so much, it's so much easier for our children to access things and kind of like go down that Google search when they can eventually do that and get the wrong information up, that we almost need to be at the forefront so we get in there first so that they don't do those Google searches, or at least if they do, we've told them the truth in the first place.
You're right, because I guess we didn't grow up with that.
There was no internet.
We had to plug it in. Do you remember if someone was on the phone? If someone was on the phone and you went on the internet, it would be like do 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 do.
You're like, oh God, here we go.
Yeah, on MSN Messenger.
Yes.
That's what it was, wasn't it?
Yes. Oh, MSN. The good old days.
Is there a period of is there a period of parenting that you are kind of most anxious about as Noah gets older? Or are you quite a chilled parent?
No, I'm not chilled. I thought I was chilled. Do you know what? It's so strange. Obviously, working with kids in the past, the level of patience that you have for other people's children is completely different from the level of patience that you have with your own. I mean, I have become more patient since becoming a mum in general, but I do... I do worry about when she's a teenager and she does the whole like, I hate you, slamming door kind of thing. I'm quite a sensitive person and I hate it. Like even now already I can see when I've upset her or like she gets in that she's so funny. Honestly, sometimes I feel like we're more like sisters than we are mother and daughter. Like I'll say something to her and she'll be like, oh, and she'll just walk away and I'll be like, you're right. She'll just be like, I'm just going to my room. I just need to have some space.
You're fooled. You know,
like, yeah. But she's so emotionally mature. She's so incredibly emotionally mature. And then I feel guilty. And then I remember just the other day, actually, we were crossing the road to go to the park. She was riding her bike and she knows that she stopped and whatever. But this time I was like, stop, Noah. And she wasn't. Long story short, I kind of shouted at her because she was about to ride into the road and she got upset. And then we got to the park and she was just like, Mummy, can we have a chat? And I was like, okay. She was like, yeah, let's go find somewhere to sit down and we can have a chat. So she is incredibly emotionally mature, but I do feel like every teenager, it's just like the thing that's done, isn't it? You're going to slam the door, mess up your room and say that you hate your parents when you're running away and you're calling.
Yeah.
Like, your auntie to live with them.
Oh my God, it will devastate me. That would absolutely break my heart if any of the kids did that to me. I find it really hard now when I find any of them crying. You know,
God,
to put Kit on his naughty step quite a lot at the moment because he's, you know, biting or weeing in the corner or headbutting someone or something. But then I find him there and he's like, you made me really sad, Mummy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Stop apologizing
to him. You've put him on the naughty step. Just let him get on with it. Stop going over to him to check that he's okay. You're not making it any better.
Do you know what? That's probably a good point. I should probably do that more because I do the same thing as you. Like I do the whole, like, I'm sorry. And maybe I'm sending out a really mixed message. I don't know. It's so hard.
We're going to be the mum that follow our daughters on their first girls' holiday. That happened to me, not with my parents, with my friend's parents. We went to Magaluf and then we found out that her parents were staying in a hotel up the road.
Oh my God.
Would they just want to go on a holiday?
I'll be there, hiding around the corner. No. They were there to check up on us. But the day we found out, we were actually really pleased. You know, like we were pleased that they were there. We'd had enough. We felt like rubbish. We wanted to go and like be at a luxury hotel around the pool.
So you know what?
I always think back to that. I'm always like, I pushed my mum away. And then I suddenly was like, actually, you know what? It's so much better to be looked after.
It's so much better.
So they'll always come back around.
Your mum looks after you, George.
She does still now. She does still now look after me. Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, I said to my mum on the phone, because she lives in Africa, and I probably speak to her once a week or once every sort of 10 days, and she said to me the other day, darling, I would... She think of Joanna Lumley, cross between kind of like, I don't know, one of those ones that does that programme on BBC in the morning, the antiques ones. So she's like, darling. She said, I would call you more, but the thing is that we're still going to loads of parties. And I'm like, all right, mum, okay. And she was like, and you know, it was a full moon, so we were sort of dancing under the moonlight, drinking champagne. I'm like,
my hero.
Oh, she is. Three children here. Did you want to help out or did you want to zoom them? Or, you know, she's just busy in Kenya.
I love that. She's doing what we all want to be doing. I know.
Yeah. Jess, listen, I feel like we could talk to you forever, but we've kept you on for a long time. Before we say goodbye, the best piece of advice that you could give a new mum?
Oh, tricky. I think it's so easy, especially in the early days, to get caught up in comparison or not even necessarily comparing to other children or other mums, but just like milestones and what you should be doing according to the books about the babies and the mums and things like that. I think, as long as, and obviously everyone is like just loving their child and, you know, just take it easy on yourself and just try not to compare. Try not to think that parenting looks a certain way, and just go with the flow.
Love that.
Yeah. And we always like to ask people for product recommendations. So are there any products that you love at the moment that are helping you this year or that you loved at the beginning? Just like a few products that you'd absolutely swear by.
Yes, actually, Noah suffered, and she still does, bless her, with really, really bad eczema. not so much as bad now, but as a baby, she was pretty much head to toe. And there's this brand called Hope's Relief. It's an Australian brand. And they have an intense, they've got quite a lot of creams within their range, but the intense one is incredible. Like, it literally works like the steroid creams that the doctors prescribe you with. Hopes Relief Intense Cream.
Yeah. Love that. I never heard of that brand. Brilliant.
Amazing. Yeah, really, no, I haven't.
Really good. Really good. It's got like all like really lovely like natural ingredients like Manuka honey, calendula, things like that. But it works, if you know what, like, so it's really good.
And yeah, your diehard amazing beauty product, Jess, just give it to us.
I do. Oh, skincare for me is like up there. I am more of a skincare junkie than I am a makeup junkie. However, if I did have to pick something makeup related, mascara. Like, I will always put on mascara, even if I'm not doing the whole face. And Benefit, their reel is incredible. I don't know if you guys have tried it, but you just put like the tiniest little bit on the ends, it extends them, and it looks like you haven't got any mascara on, which is what I like. When obviously when I've done my whole face, I mind it looking like I've got mascara on, but when it's just want it to look like you've got
bad girl's
the other one. So they have Bad Girl, that's slightly more voluminous, but there's the other one called It's Real, or they're real. And it's just
they're real
on length. Yeah. They're real. But Bad Girl is also really good. Bad Girl's what I use when I'm shooting.
There you go.
And what about skincare? You just said you love skincare. What's your absolute favorite skincare brand?
Oh, so I have really acne prone skin. As you can see, my little friend on my forehead. I tend to buy products that kind of concentrate at targeting that. I feel like I've tried every single brand under the sun, to be completely honest with you. I have so many brands that Pixi Glow Tonic is incredible. There's a French brand and I can't pronounce it. La Roche-Posay. That one, they have an Efficla range, which was incredible for me. And like, if Noah was having breakouts as a teenager, I would highly recommend that one. Right now, I'm following a regime by Zien Abaji. He is from Iran. He's got his Abaji range, but he's got like his new, it's just called Zio Skin Health, which was prescribed to me by the lady that does all my facials and stuff. It's pretty spenny, but I have noticed like an incredibly huge
just difference. The Obagi products, I swear to God, I talk about them all the time. He is an absolute genius. They are so good. Obviously, you can't get them on the high street and they are really expensive and you do have to get them prescribed by a dermatologist. Yeah. But I've noticed my skin, I used to have the worst pigmentation. It's all gone.
Yeah. I mean, thank God he came about and made.
Thank God he was born.
Range.
Thank God.
Thank God he was born.
Thank God. all right, Mrs. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been lovely chatting to you.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
She's great. She's just lovely. I love how down to earth she is. Right?
It's me too. And also, like, how easy to talk to. Like, I actually forgot we were interviewing her. Like, it didn't feel like that. It just felt like we were sitting down chatting to a mate that I've actually never met before.
I love how real she was. That there wasn't really a kind of, there wasn't really a moment where I thought we weren't seeing the real her, you know? And I love that we got onto the subject of periods. I love that we talked all about, you know, menstrual cycles and polycystic ovaries. We just have never touched on any of that before. It was brilliant.
No, and it's something of, like, most women will have a period every month. So it's something that we, you know, most of us will go through. Mm. And also, it's not always straightforward. Yeah. Like, it's really not. If you speak to most of your girl mates, there's been a time where they've, you know, either had, you know, irregular periods, they might have had some cysts. Most people seem to have had some issue throughout their life. Mm. So it is something that I don't know why we haven't really spoken about it before, but I think it's going to be important for us to do that
going forward.
And if anyone has any suggestions, like, of guests that would, you know, would work to talk in that kind of space, then please, like, do send them our way, because it's definitely something that we want to open up the conversation around.
Definitely. And as always, we would absolutely love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. And please, if you do have time, leaving us a little review, it really, really helps for
for us. It kind of spreads the Made by Mamas podcast word, and that's what we're all about.
Yeah. Do you know what? I actually read some of the reviews at the weekend and I was nearly crying, and I don't cry, so please do keep them coming. And I might even, you know, show you that I was proof that I was actually crying.
We want to see the tears, George. Send us the tears. Yeah, film them.
And if you have got any suggestions, like I said, for guests, you know, who could talk about periods or actually anything that you'd find interesting, then please drop us a DM at Made by Mummers, and we'll be back on Friday.
See you then.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We're outside the Travel Agency, a cannabis store that's got everyone buzzing.
I've been to dispensaries all over the United States, but I've never seen one this unique.
So nice. Amazing vibe.
Some of the best customer service I've had in a store.
Blows my expectations out of the water.
Come down to the Travel Agency and see for yourself. For use only by adults age 21 and older. Keep out of reach of children and pets. In case of accidental ingestion or overconsumption, contact the National Poison Control Center. Consume responsibly.